Apologies from Mr. Mtitwa, Mtimbu, Mr. Mylam, Ms. Mtsipi, the who at violations, and then from Mr. Kalisa.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson, from COGDA. The apology from the Minister and the Deputy Minister were engaged elsewhere, and our DG, who is in Northwest on the Section 100 IMTT engagements.
Okay. Maybe we should invite you then to make a presentation, introduce your team, and then make the presentation.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Tebogo Motlhatswepe. I'm the acting DDG for Institutional Development at COGDA, and the colleagues will introduce themselves.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. My name is Venerable Tata from the Department of Cooperative Governance, Senior Manager, Development Planning.
Good morning. My name is Lerato Twani. I'm from Cooperative Governance, responsible for municipal revenue as well as audit outcomes.
Good morning, Chairperson, Honorable Members. My name is Itebogeng Ntuli, PLO, Office of the DG, DCOG.
Thanks, Chairperson, Honorable Members. Mr. Walaza will deal with the first presentation, and Ms. Lerato Twani will deal with the second presentation.
Thank you so much, Honorable Chair. Thank you so much to the committee and for the opportunity to come and share with the committee the work that the department is currently involved in around the fifth pillar of the Back to Basics, which focuses on local economic development. The presentation covers the purpose, background, a very brief outcome of the National Local Economic Development Conference that was hosted in November 2022, the revised energy framework and the current work that the department is doing. And the purpose really is to brief the portfolio committee around the six pillar of Back to Basics, and also to reflect on the work that is being done now to revise the LED framework. Now, as a background, the first phase of Back to Basics had five pillars, and those five pillars did not include the local economic development. And this was based on the fact that local economic development was viewed as mainstreamed across all the five pillars of the practice. In other words, because the white paper local government says municipalities are responsible for creating an enabling environment for the economy to thrive, for businesses to grow, and jobs to be created, and revenue generated. And therefore, the view was that if you are focusing on the five pillars of Back to Basics, the very first phase of Back to Basics, and you implement them already, that will have a direct spin-off for economic development. For instance, the pillar on putting people first, in as far as economic development is concerned, meant that there will be structures, for instance, for business, for employers, etc., where they will be engaged around issues of local economic development, of the entire environment, or the entire space where they're operating. Secondly, if you deal with the provision of basic services, for instance, if the street lights are working, if potholes are fixed, that already contributes to an enabling environment for the economy to grow. If we're getting clean audits as municipalities, that already assists to project us as potential investment partners, because it means that there is credibility in that organization, etc. So it has always been believed that this subject of local economic development is mainstreamed across all the time. But The Presidential Local Government Summit, which was then hosted 6, 7, April 2017, then says to mainstream it is not enough. Let us then elevate it and make it more prominent within the pillars, and therefore make it an additional pillar. But of course, the theme of the summit was transforming workplaces for radical social and economic women. And I guess the issue here was that the government is now prioritizing the radical economic transformation. And how do we position local government towards achieving this radical economic transformation? And for us to assume that if we do other things, that will automatically address issues of economic development, we may miss the point. So let us be very direct and in the sense that we are clear. We want to transform the municipal spaces. We want to position them so that they can play a more prominent and a more prominent role. And therefore, the summit resolved that the next step to basic space should focus on the integrated urban development framework as its implementation is essential. Planning and a focus on local economic development to stimulate local economies and improve planning capability at municipal level, which also form part an important component of the second phase of PEP 2 basics. Now, once that resolution was then made, the Presidential Local Government Summit to include the local economic development as a pillar, then the Minister of Cooperative Governance and Transnational Affairs, in partnership with the Department of Small Business Development, convened a national energy conference and pulled all stakeholders, about 400 people came together in November 2017 to begin to reflect on the state of local economic development in local governments, deal with the successes where we've done well, and probably identify the constraints and put together a very concrete plan of action. One of the things that was a key question for that conference was, we assume that informal sector is thriving, but why is it treated as a second cousin? Why is it not elevated to the same level that we'd like it to be, if it continues to be an important sector at a local government? And of course, what steps should be taken to heighten the trajectory of local economic development, and how do we strengthen the involvement of local people in our sports as a country is currently experiencing stubborn high levels of youth unemployment? Now, just to reflect very briefly on the outcomes, therefore, of that National Energy Conference. Of course, it agreed to adopt the new South African Energy Agenda that aims to contribute towards achieving radical economic transformation. The conference committed to ensure the centrality of energy in the implementation of the PEP 2 Basics program and the IUDF to build a capable democratic local government, transform municipal spaces, and strengthen rural-urban linkages as a key component of the social, radical social economic transformation. And of course, within that particular conference, we then launched the Economic Development Council of South Africa, which then intends to professionalize it. In other words, officials that work in the space would be registered with the council, like it is the case of planners, engineers, etc. So it was then launched. Above that, the conference then adopted a cross-cutting principle that says we are unable to deliver this energy mandate as the cooperative government, as well as small business development alone. But we need certain principles that should help to keep us in check. One was collaborative partnerships. We can't do this on our own. We must now invest in partnerships. Integrated place development that recognizes marginalized services such as townships, informal settlements, urban areas, and rural settlements. In other words, let this LED be territorially integrated. Let's look at the space and what is contained in that particular space, the economy, the people, pull all those together, but also they have to recognize the marginalized areas, those that have not necessarily participated in the mainstream economy. Let's strive for inclusive economy that will prioritize youth, women, and in the informal sector. It's important that you don't invest in short-term economic development initiatives, your poverty alleviation initiatives, but let's look at the sustainable initiatives, long-term initiatives. Let's provide effective leadership and proper governance for this to happen. Let's also appreciate the fact that LED is state-led, however it is private sector-driven, but it is community-based. and therefore let's pull all these partners together. Let us also promote the innovation and driven economic development and growth. So those were just the principles that the summit adopted. And then above that, there were areas that were then lifted as priorities. And then that the conference said from now on, the LED agenda of the country, the new LED agenda of the country, must then focus on these things. One is, of course, ensuring that there is a centrality of LED in the implementation of back to basics. And now in the action plans of municipalities, in as far as the back to basics is concerned, LED is one of the areas that they are reporting on. The second one is the need to manage the rapid urbanization and effects of spatial transformation to stimulate local economies. Would be aware that South Africa is currently experiencing rapid urbanization, that people are moving to urban areas. That on its own presents opportunities if it's well managed. Because as these people are coming to urban areas, they come with skills. They come with their own expertise that could then be utilized to stimulate local economies. We need to articulate more clearly the role of local government in radical social economic transformation. Let's be very, very clear. For this to happen, it will happen in a municipality, in a ward. And therefore, let's make sure that we clarify that role. It must be continued sharing of knowledge on good practices and successful models. Because the view of the conference was that there are some areas where we're doing well, but those are not known. So how do we then make them known? Let us address enablers and inhibitors. So there are specific things that make it difficult to do business in municipalities. Some of those would be the red tape, some would be very, very long processes, some would be inefficient administrative systems. So let's address those that make it difficult to do business. Dedicate effective and efficient support to SMEs and informal businesses, particularly around education. Strengthen that education. Let's facilitate sharing of national and international models on good practices in developing and promotion cooperatives. Let's increase collaboration between researchers and policymakers in the design of programs to address migration challenges. And here, the issue is the conference raised sharply that they feel that South Africans are being pushed out of its local economic activities. If you go to townships, if you go to rural areas, if you go to CBDs, most of those are now run by the foreign-owned African people. And then they're saying, but that can't be the case. Let's find a way of creating space for our own people to participate in the economy. And then they then mandated us, and just look at what policymakers, what researchers are currently doing, so we can design programs that would not necessarily be xenophobic, but that would embrace the role of our own people. Explore the establishment of the LED fund. That was very important because they said some of these things that we talk about will not be able to do them if we don't have resources available in our own hands to drive them. Let's explore establishing new financial arrangements for innovation capabilities and capacity building for local spaces. The Department of Science and Technology has some innovation for energy fund. Now let's see how we can use this to strengthen innovation capabilities and capacity building. Let's build and strengthen collaboration between local government, scientific committees, and agents of innovation. Let's strengthen the role of traditional leaders as well in as far as economic development is concerned. And let's also clarify and delineate roles and responsibilities between all spheres of government that are participating in the energy space. Then, after then the conference, because some of these things that emerged from the conference meant that we needed to go back to the National Energy Framework and see that they are effective, so that as we implement the National Energy Framework, at least it appreciates this new energy agenda, it appreciates this new thinking, it appreciates this radical economic transformation agenda of the country. So we went back to the process that was at a very, very final stage. So let's put it on hold, let's therefore focus on effecting these particular elements and work with the Department of Science and Technology that are driving the innovations for LED agenda. We pulled them to come and work on this. And of course, this particular framework was underpinned by the need to advance and deepen the understanding of LED. But importantly, to begin to talk about regional economic development in the country. And of course, the need to mobilize stakeholders, build on achievements and lessons that that we learned from the 2006 framework emphasizes the territorial approach to development. So let's look at the space. Let it be about space development. And of course, let's recognize the transformative potential of LEDs, especially in marginalized communities. And therefore, the framework then designed to entrench LED as a primarily territorial response emphasizes the importance of unique characteristics of localities. So if you look at the LED strategy of a certain municipality, you must be able to pick what makes this space unique from other spaces. And of course, it contextualizes LED within our country. It highlights South Africa's core local development priorities, and of course, articulates specific principles that will underpin all future LED programs. We pitched it as a strategic coordination planning and implementation guide for the country. But of course, because there were a number of challenges that were identified in the 2006 framework, we therefore thought that it would be important that post this process, we then have to do an implementation plan, which would be more specific and begin to commit people. And of course, the framework maintains that this is a whole of society process. So it's not like a government program alone, but the whole of society. So everyone in society has a role to play. And of course, it provides strategic coordination in as far as LED is concerned. Now, what we've then done, Honorable Chair, was to check on the, what are the challenges? Just did a review of LED in the country and understand what challenges and what opportunities. Now, one of the challenges was the meaning of LED. When you talk about local economic development, what do you mean? And other people are defining this to mean pickery projects, car washes, selling apples and fruits in the streets, and to them that's LED. The poor intergovernmental relations in LED, because it happens across all government sectors, that was a challenge. We've got a number of partnerships that they have not been productive to derive the impact that we're looking for. There's not been a clear communication, knowledge sharing program. That's why we're saying there are pockets of success, but they're not known. The capacity constraints, we go to a number of municipalities, you'll find one person who's doing LED, responsible for LED, responsible for IDP, responsible for special programs unit with no budget. So that was a challenge. That there's also a need for a differentiated approach to support. So at the moment, we've got one size fits all approach. Issue of funding for LED remains a challenge. Some of the things that we'd like to do, aspire to do, because we don't have resources and we can achieve them, there's poor investment in economic information, so we don't know the economic profiles of certain municipalities. That information is not available. That's why if you look at, for instance, an IDP of a district, and an IDP of a local municipality in the very same district, they would contain socio-economic profiles that are different, or the poor economic information. And of course, the dedicated focus on supporting an inclusive economy. But of course, when we're doing that research, we also identify some opportunities. One of those was that a number of municipalities have LED strategies, and most of those are integrated in the integrated development plan. And of course, we're not talking credibility at this stage, but we're just saying at least at a basis level, those are there. Number of provincial government departments have programs that support local economic development implementation. And the country currently was sitting with over 30 local economic development agencies that are part of the municipalities and driving the implementation agenda of LED municipalities. National Economic Sector Departments have invested in various programs, more especially around capacity building and around funding. Academic institutions have a number of programs that they provide up to a degree level. There are also non-state actors that are involved in this particular space. Now, the framework that was proposed is a vision for LED in the country, which seeks to create competitive, sustainable, diverse, innovation-driven, inclusive local economies that are vibrant, places in which to live, invest, and work, which maximizes local opportunities, address local needs, and goes with South African national development objectives, including sustainable ways of utilizing local resources and expand learning capabilities. Now, the key thing in this vision is the importance of local. That all these initiatives, all these aspirations must promote the local aspects of things. And of course, we propose a definition which is not a textbook definition, but just a definition for South Africa based on our own experiences as a country of implementing LED. that we propose that LED is a process by which public, business, non-government sector partners work collectively to create better conditions for innovation-driven, inclusive economic development that is characterized by skills development and knowledge transfer, employment generation, economic capacity building for a local area, investment attraction and retention, image enhancement, and revenue generation in order to improve its economic future and the quality of life for all. Now, we see, based on this definition, we are already starting to pull things that emerged from the Presidential Local Government Summit, things that emerged from the National LED Conference, and also the aspirations of Back to Basics. For instance, when we're talking about the image enhancement of that area, we're talking about the beautification of the area, the cleanliness of the area as one of the enablers. We're then talking about the issues of revenue generation as becoming very, very key in making sure that we've got sustainable and functional municipalities. And economic development is a very, very important player in making sure that revenue is being generated when the environment is conducive, when businesses are being retained and businesses are expanding, people are getting more jobs. It also then means those people are able to get off the indigent register and they'll be able to pay for the services from the municipality. Therefore, the municipality receives revenue, but also it talks to issues of skills development, that is the people empowerment in those particular spaces. So if you were then to link that to the white paper on local government, you'd understand therefore that this again means local government is responsible for economic governance. It should focus on creating that enabling environment. They should spend their limited resources on unlocking economic development opportunities. So we're not necessarily responsible for job creation. There must be a clear LED vision, a clear strategic agenda in a municipality. It also emphasizes the understanding key role players to drive this particular vision. So let's not just leave it to the municipality. And I would like to just briefly talk about the six core pillars of this LED framework. One deals with building diverse and innovation-driven local economies, and there we're beginning to say, let's understand the sectors in those municipalities. What are the key sectors in these municipalities? Let's also begin to promote regional economic development. Let's go beyond our own geographical boundaries. How do we then advance or exploit science, technology, and innovation to advance sustainability? We're also talking about corridor development and sub-regional cross-border programs. The second pillar deals with developing inclusive economies. And again, there it begins to say, how do we develop informal economies? Already there's some work that is being done around formalization of the informal economy. But what does that mean? But for us, how do we support the informal economy? Because it is thriving. How do we focus on inner city revitalization? But also, township economic development becomes important. It is important to us because we feel that one, we need a new vision for townships. We understand what they were created for. Now, in as far as economic development is concerned in townships, we've seen that there are a few areas that are thriving. One, informal economy is thriving in townships. It's doing very, very well. The second area that is doing well in townships is the retail sector. It is doing very, very well, but money is not circulating locally. So we see a big truck delivering in the township, and in the afternoon, the SPV van leaves with the money. The third sector that is thriving in township is what we refer to as pastor premiers. If you pitch a tent and start your church, you also do very, very well. But other than that, townships have not been doing well in terms of, and of course, the foreign-owned businesses are doing well in townships. So how do we then begin to change that particular space? How do we focus on small towns and regeneration? So as much as people are moving to urban areas, we're experiencing rapid urbanization, but we still have over 500 small towns, and other people are remaining in those small towns. So how do we continue to support small towns? Developing learning and skillful economies that were providing training and support, address the skills gap. We now have a BCom in LED, which therefore means people can be trained. We also talk about the professional body. The fourth pillar deals with enterprise development and support. We're supporting businesses of women, youth, and people with disabilities. Talk about SME support, cooperative support, business linkages. So if people are doing well elsewhere, we can link them up. Economic governance and infrastructure is then the role of the municipalities as well. this back to basics role comes to play, because there we are beginning to talk about the issues of ease of doing business in our municipalities, making sure that we've got quicker turnaround times, we approve business plans quicker, making sure that we've got efficient systems in place, we've got we improve business retention and expansion initiatives, image enhancement and beautification and marketing of local spaces, how do you facilitate and coordinate investment in our own municipalities remains in that particular role, and how do you play the oversight and governance role in as far as economic development is concerned. And the last one is strengthening local innovation systems. Again, the appreciation is that innovation resides in communities, not in science labs, not in universities. And how do we then strengthen that? How do we provide support to strengthen that? And then we proposed what you call the enablers to these pillars, which is what then becomes our day-to-day work, and it has various elements. And the last part of the presentation deals with the current initiatives. And here, recently, the Minister of Culture established an international committee on local economic development, composed of ministers of tourism, small business development, economic development, science and technology, trade and industry, mineral resources, rural development and agrarian reform. And this interministerial task team then seeks to monitor the implementation of LED initiatives in the country. And of course, wants to elevate those into very, very catalytic interventions. And that interministerial task team has a technical task team that is led by the Director General of the said department. And therefore, in conclusion, we'd like to report that the revised national LED framework has put in place various implementation support mechanisms. So we're not just going to throw in a document without support implementation support mechanism. We are suggesting monitoring and evaluation systems in order to measure impact, because one of the weaknesses earlier was that we are unable to measure impact. The municipal back to basic support plans include reporting on LED, which means then through that institutionalized system, and therefore it will enhance to support municipalities. But I think for us, therefore, the issue is that local government, in as far as the white paper on local government is concerned, and the back to basics phase two is concerned, that local government must take active steps to create an enabling environment to ensure economic development and businesses thrive, thereby creating employment opportunities and growing the local revenue. But that then begins with a functional municipality. Municipality which is able to perform its most basic function. And for us, this is a starter. So if we can be able to have a functional municipality, and therefore we are then able to say we have an enabling environment where economic development and businesses could thrive. Thank you so much, Honorable Chairman.
Okay. Thank you very much. I think, members, let us engage on this presentation, a very important added leg of the back to basic local economic development. I just thought that Walaz and then Zilente and Zwayo General, you keep our bagged bees. They want to empower band to separate them, but keep our bees. That generally approach has been keeping people busy. When they're not busy, they're very problematic anyway. That's why Mushaping, that's why Northwest got that problem. We didn't keep people busy. Because there's a difference between empowering people and keeping them busy. I think the extended work programs is to keep them busy, really. Keep them busy, at least they must do something. Cooperatives, again, is about keeping them busy. I just thought that when we talk about local economic development, we are talking about real empowerment of communities and people. Not to keep them busy, you see. Oh, mama, labo ba keep a benity local matches every day. As I was showing, mama, we need matches, but there's no progress, you know. I don't think it's the correct way of dealing with local economic development. Hopefully, this one that we are driving as court is not going to be the same. that he gives people, just keeping them busy. But they don't go anywhere. You keep them busy forever, but they don't go anywhere. There's no progress, no empowerment on that, no access to finances, and it's a bigger problem. Honorable Mason wanted to make a point.
I'm happy that Wallace is here. And we can see a lot of passion. But we need to move beyond that. That's the main message. We need to move beyond that. You see, if this thing is to succeed, there are a number of things that we need to one of them is just a business model. When you say people must establish this local business development, what are we saying? Even the same cooperatives, of course I agree with you, cooperatives are not selling tomatoes and so on. Cooperatives can be big, they can produce cars and so on, and other products. A very good example of this is tomatoes in Europe, and so on. But none of that. So the thing is not even big, small things, tomatoes the cherries and the peppers and so on. We're not going anywhere anytime soon. Now, one of the issues that I raised in the discussion of strategy. Which is very, something that you should spend time on. That one means that everyone talks strategy, but very, very few people have a sense of strategy. The smaller way to strategy is to bet. It's a plan. So, talk strategy is to talk about the result. Here is the result. And this is what. This is how we're going to ensure that these results are realized and so on. There's none of that. So it's a strategic consideration, strategic reflection, strategic this and the other and so on. But there's very little plans that are put in place. I know that the word strategy is spoken of a lot. Training managers, etc. The strategy is its origin is really military. It's a military concept, strategy. It's a very serious word, so, and all of that gets missing. You see, I have been totally very, very impressed with the way. The whole thing, the idea rose. My elder quite appointed. He tries the driver of economies in the townships and so on. I drive around there, so I don't see anything. I don't. There's nothing there.
You don't see, but it's there.
I don't see anything there. Once in a while, you find a small little guy somewhere fitting tires and so on. Once in a while, but generally speaking, there's nothing, there's no coherence, nothing at all. Then you talk about BCom LED. Well, where are the graduates? Well, we see the graduates, in action somewhere, doing something. Where is that?
think I'm your student trustee. What has come out of those meetings? It was meetings and meetings and meetings. You mean very much. So what I'm really aiming for is results. You must take the things beyond what you are reading. I mean, the document, the first side, is very impressive. It seems like there's something happening. Overall, there's a lot of talk. In whatever way you look at it, very little to show on the ground. I mean, when we talk success, we should be talking in our own understanding of what success is. We should be talking results. We should be saying, here is a pilot project. It has run for the last 6 months. This is what has come out of that pilot project. This is what we're learning. This is what we're replicating on the cloud. In terms of failures, this is what has so much money been put in and so on. Here are the failures. And so many millions have gone into this. Nothing has come out of it and so on. There's also a small business thing. They say, I don't know what they say, 80% it's failures. But we must say what those failures are. I mean, where are the failures? What are the steps? If we want to talk success, where are the steps? Well, the steps can be either in terms of employment of more people. Sometimes they say, you say, not small businesses, you know, employ most of the people. But where is that? So we really need to answer hard questions. But there is even his own role. His own role, but we need far much more than that. Township economy? Where is this township economy? Where is it? Let me give you two examples of some things that I've seen happen. I don't know from what part of the country it comes from, but you can draw back. In a place called Tiffure. But there's still a few shops, I imagine. There's like a small little central business is developing there. There's also a place in Kenisa. It turns into some business type hub. They're not every day, But we haven't seen what this idea promises. What is this idea? The transformation of these small towns, right? Two street towns around the railway, all railway stations and so on. And there was a commitment made by the president, not just this president. Where is that? Where can we go in the country and say, you know, when you transform the small dying town, here are the results, and here is a pilot that is vibrant. That is, I'm just saying that.
But Andy, it's too early to surrender.
No, no, not surrender, but there's nothing. There's nothing, Walanda. There's nothing to show.
But there's a report, a very full, it's a very detailed report.
Oh, it's just a nice articulate, very good English and so on.
Okay.
No, thank you, Chairperson, and let me just appreciate the report. My last, when Honorable Masonto was speaking about where are the results, I'm tempted to say yes, we have got good presentation with a good English, but real implementation, it's not there. You see, if you can check in the past, so I'm not the person who's going to compare the old regime and our democratic government, but really we are not doing well. And we are losing a lot of money, a lot of resources. We've got human beings which are hired in a higher positions. In municipalities, we've got good people who are there, but implementation is not there. Yes, in papers. Aha. Good policies, good plans, but I don't know what is the problem with us. You see, you are talking about the informal traders in our towns. You go to Joburg. Johannesburg is no longer a Johannesburg that we used to see in the past. All the shops are owned by the foreigners. And I'm not sure whether the municipality is aware. Don't they have bylaws? What is it that we are doing as government to make sure that our people, they are the ones who are going to reap the produce of our country? We are just holding our arms. Foreigners are inventing our... Actually, they are taking over the country. I'm not a xenophobic person, but really what is happening, it's scary. In 5 years' time, if we are not careful, they are going to take over South Africa. Yesterday I was just talking to one guy, he was saying, I didn't even tell him that I'm a politician, because he was saying, yeah, politicians, they are selling our country. And we tell them that, no, these foreigners, they come here, they sell in Europe, they destroy our youth, and we are just tired. In 5 years' time, are we still going to have men who are going to produce children because they are destroyed by Nyope? And I was so embarrassed. I said, sure. Yeah, it's so scary. You see, if we are not going to address this issue of informal traders in our towns and cities, especially those owned by the foreigners, then the LED, what we are saying that we want to empower our people, is not going to happen. I was checking the... Here you're talking about the challenges that you have discovered when you're doing the research. Do we have plans really to address all these challenges? Because it's real that there's poor intergovernmental relations on LED. And there's no cooperation between partners who can make sure that our people, they get what they want. What is it that we can do? Or as a department, do you have plans? Or maybe you just sit around the table and come up with a good presentation, but no monitoring, no evaluation, to make sure that, yes, what we are planning, is it giving us good food? Is it giving us what we are saying, Honorable Masonto, about the success? It should be a tangible thing. I was also worried about the teams that we are always creating. There will be meetings, yes. Those interministerial teams, they are going to be there. But at the end, are we going to get results? But maybe I hope this time we are going to get good results. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable
Dube.
Thank you, Honourable
Chair. You know, the presentation, it's very good. And I want to concur with my colleagues that side. You know, it's a very, you know, when you look at the face value, it's a very good program. Or it's a very good, you know, report that can produce program. Successful presidential local government summit. Successful. I'm not so sure. Because normally you're successful. What inform to be success, you know, success? We were saying successful, the president was there, was right, you know, attendance, you know. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. You know, particularly when you go to these local municipalities in the rural areas, it's bad. It's bad. You know, we talk about the image of the town. Apart from the cleanliness, the image of the town, potholes, everything. What is it that the government, the department is trying to do, to intervene? There are potholes all over. You know, I can mention about 8 towns in Mpumalanga, for example. There are potholes all over. Street lights. You know, it's very bad. The deterioration of our towns. It's unacceptable. They are in the stage of collapsing. Now, there's also the issue that because the department is having a person who is responsible of revenue collection, you know, and that also to monitor the audit for municipalities. Is it that in terms of your report we say so? Now, the problem is, each financial year we spoke about the outcomes of different municipalities, you know, the results, you know, disclaimer and so on. Keep on. Now, what measures are in place? What programs, measures are in place that the department are putting in place of ensuring of the improving of the financial, of each municipalities? Because you can't have a person in the department is working on the financial matters of the municipalities, but it's doing nothing. It's doing nothing in the sense that each time there's disclaimer, you know, these municipalities, 1, 2, 3. A good example in Northwest. The department was supposed to intervene in time because some of the matters in the Northwest are administrative matters, are not political matters. People, they started to rise up and, you know, come together because there were already gaps, you know, potholes, you know, electricity is not working and so on and so on. So now, I'm not so sure. Yeah, it's a good report or a presentation, but it doesn't assist, to be honest. It doesn't assist, Chair. We're just sitting around the table. And you are just listening to the report. Because also this presentation, it talks more about things that need to be done. It doesn't give us solution to say, for example, Honorable Masondo talks about success, for example. And they explain and say success, we measure success with stats, number of people that have been employed and so on and so on. Constraint, which are the challenges? What are the challenges? What is it that we can do, you know, to tackle those challenges? That's what we want. So that our input would say we're going forward, you know. We've done this. What is it that we can do? Yeah, thanks.
Okay.
I don't want to say it's a disappointing presentation, but I don't know, because it doesn't assist.
Okay, it's the first presentation for us to engage with it and then see what we can do. It's very heavy work that we have to do. Walazo, any comment that you want to make? just engagement, you can assist us on that.
Honorable Chairman, thank you for your comments and your thoughts. We appreciate those. We could, Honorable Chair, pull this information that members seem to require. At this stage, the brief for us was present on the 6th bill, so that's what we did. We did not get to this level that seems to be required, but we are able to do that. We are able to indicate what is being done in small towns and pull successes. We are able to pull successes in townships. We are able to pull successes in informal. So all these areas that you seem to be interested in are areas that there is work that is being done. And we are able to pull those things up if you require. So at this stage, we just left it at the high level. But we are able to give you the information in accordance to your own specifications. Now, just a few examples that were mentioned by honorable members. One around the foreign-owned issue. We've been grappling with this area for years now. Last year, we had an engagement with the law firm in Joburg. And these people are cautioning us, and they are saying to us, the constitution of the country says, if you are in South Africa, you have a right to earn a living, because the government of South Africa does not provide you with a subsidy or with a grant if you are because there are no refugee camps here. Yeah. So once you land in the country, you then have a right to participate in the economy and do whatever you need. So they are saying, you can't therefore say, in the city of Joburg, we are going to have 50 foreign-owned shops. Well, they're going to take us to court. Well, it is against the aspiration of the very same constitution. So the issue now is, how do we support our own people to participate in the economy? Because another thing that we've seen is that these people are also able to drive our people out of the economy. So if you are owning a shop in this street, they would come and open 4 more shops to this side and to this side. And within a week, you are out of business. So how do we then empower our own people? That's the work that we're currently doing. Now, the Presidential Coordinating Committee has established a task team. I know you're not a very big fan of task teams. Around the foreign-owned businesses in townships and in rural areas. Now, one of the things that we are currently working on is the concept of mass economic participation of our people and how we need to begin to regulate the space. Because some people who've been into these African countries are saying it's not free for all in these African countries. So why is in South Africa it is a country of milk and honey? Even though when you go elsewhere, it's not the case. So we are now working on that a particular space to come up with a policy that will then regulate the space and make sure. But the other thing is that these people are not known by even the municipalities. They're not related to that in municipalities. So one of the support we are putting in place now is to support the municipalities to know every economic activity that happens in their space. And there's a big campaign that the minister said, let's now launch with the small business development. So let's go to every ward in the country and understand what happens there. Let's know who is there. Let those who register, and also they be licensed. Now again, that will then require a guideline to municipalities on how do you license, how do you register, but also capacity support. Some of these municipalities will not be able to deliver those on their own. So that's the work that we are currently doing. Around township economic development, I think as a country we must acknowledge the fact that we are project driven. That's why the Gauteng Township Revitalization Strategy, when it was launched with projects in mind. Now, when you launch the project, you go and do a project in that particular corner for 2 years, you exit. And for us is that even the term township revitalization is incorrect.
You can't say township economy is revitalized. Well, there was never an economy there to be revitalized. Townships were dormitories to dump people, but also to make sure that they're close by. You know. So if you are now talking about local economic development, which is about enhancing territorial approach, so it means township is a space, there are people there, there is an economy, but how do you then envision townships? How do you see them differently? So begin there. See them different, not as dormitories, but as economic hubs. And then if you see them, that what kind of infrastructure is needed in township? What support is needed in township? Now, part of the work that we are currently doing in around the space is, one, we are now trying to understand all the government legislation that impede township economic development. What makes it difficult to do business in townships? And which legislations are problematic? And then pull all those legislations and say, these legislations need to be reviewed. Because if you have them as they are, then you will not achieve. The second thing is also to look at legislations that present opportunities. For instance, the BBBE Act. We see an opportunity there that we can add in some clauses that will say, if you procure or utilize or you are based in townships, you get extra points. That begins to be an opportunity. But also we're starting to do achieve some progress in as far as say, talking to the insurance industry to say to them, we know your panel beaters, the accredited panel beaters, 99 townships. Can you now begin to accredit panel beaters in townships? So there's this value chain of informal small businesses with bigger businesses. And I mean, if you could have Santam accrediting panel beaters in at least every township in the country, you have the same other insurance companies. That would totally change the outlook of township economies. So that's the work that we are currently doing. And as we say, we are more than happy to share these things and get deeper. Again, even with small towns regeneration, we've invested so much resources and work in this particular space. And we've seen some great achievements in as far as revitalizing small towns or regenerating small towns. It's a bit difficult because for small towns, what we are now seeing, the biggest challenge is infrastructure. So if you invest in infrastructure in small towns, then they will thrive. People are not going to leave small towns because then they will have the infrastructure. But currently it's not there. But also, we are beginning to say, you can't treat small towns as if they're the same. You've got agricultural small towns, tourism small towns, etc. So, and those have different needs. How do we then provide support and package it in that area? And there is work that is being done in that area. The revised National Energy Framework is a very intentional plan to address the challenges that have been raised. And we've got quite a number of initiatives that are already in place, for instance, to address the issues of IGR. This IMTT has already helped us to pull all the national government departments to come together and understand what they do in this space. Now, the other question was, what have been the results? One of the very, very quick wins that we've already achieved is to begin to understand where the SEZs are in the country and what activities are happening in those SEZs, how many people are employed there, how many local people, how many local businesses are participating, in which sectors, how are they procuring from local businesses. Also, the revitalization of the industrial parks that used to be in the homeland. We already, in that particular space, now said, let's open this up for SMMEs, and now let's pull the local SMMEs and give them these facilities to operate from and subsidize them or incentivize them so that they could do well in as far as generating income is concerned. So we've been able to do that and continue to play in that particular space. So there has been already some pockets of success, and we could strengthen that a little bit. I know, Honorable Chair, that in as far as the CWP is concerned, and EPWP, the concern that was raised by Honorable Masson has been there, that these CWP and EPWP participants,
will be the program for 3 years and they'll gain no skills. Now, we are already in programs where we are starting to assist them to identify income generating opportunities outside of that particular program. Some of them are doing very, very well. But again, the issue for us is the whole conceptualization of the cooperatives model. It becomes, if you look at the cases like Belgium, cooperative their cooperative model will be, I would be in one sector, he will be in another sector, he will be in another sector, but we'll have a cooperative, that will be an umbrella. But our own model means pull people together to form a cooperative and venture into one sector. And in most cases, we are fighting fire because people are fighting every day, but also people are forming cooperatives because there is funding available. Three, people are forming cooperatives because we see it as an alternative to unemployment. And that is not the case. So I agree with the fact that we need to address the issue of the model first, before, because it is the model that contributes to this failure. And if we were to relook at the model, and then we'll probably get different results. I think I've commented, Honorable Chair, to most of the points.
But your own cooperatives here, because also we are suggesting in terms of the documents that
you are presenting. Surely it can't be the same, like the one that you are criticizing. And it can't be the same because you're also proposing this one that we must have cooperatives, but I just think that we need some time, Comrade Ambi, to have a discussion about some of the issues. Because bearing in mind that the LED as a pillar is new in COCTA, but it has been with us for years. It's not the first time you're talking about local economic development. It's just as a pillar in the back to basis is a separate issue. I thought that Walaza, the point that was raised is that given the totality of our problems, and then where can we see success? Because we can't see it because it's a new pillar that is taken to you, I think. And then, but we are not first time we are talking about cooperatives, local economic development, rural development. All this matter has been there all along. I think the point that as we are taking over as COCTA, as our pillar, what are we going to do differently from what has been done all along? Because I thought that's a point that is raised by many colleagues here, that we are taking something that has been working, I think small development. Honorable Bob Mabaso, we talk about cooperative almost every day. Ruth Beng, we talk about this every day, but we can't see this thing working. If we say to them, in terms of the presentation, we need them, which is correct, but how are we going to manage it? That is not the same. Because otherwise, if again, it's just the same thing that you are saying, well, Laza is very bad, there's money there for from cooperative. But it's not because you want to do anything, it's just to get that money. That money goes, then the cop goes down. And the copy of Makanda to every corner. It doesn't work. But I think to me, what is important for us, if COCTA want to make an impact, because I do think that we are forced by circumstances anyway to make an impact, precisely because large number of young people are not employed. I think if you go to many townships today, it's almost Christmas Day. And then it used to be different anyway. I think. But almost every day now is Christmas Day, young people loitering around, all this thing, Yaupe problem that Honorable Malureka is raising. But the point that in my view, I think members are raising the point that what new that we are introducing? LED has been with us for many years. But what is new that we are introducing? What is a new idea that we are introducing in terms of the cooperatives, LED programs? And then because I think then members can be going there sometimes, Honorable Dube. We go and see cooperatives, whatever, somewhere in Mpumalanga. That is not working the way we are saying this thing doesn't work. And then that you buy a farm and you give them there. They've got no interest in that except to get money and leave this thing to die. I think that's the point, Comrade, that what value are we adding? Because otherwise, we leave it to Comrade Lindy Wezulu to run the show on these things, small businesses. If we are not adding new ideas and how we manage this thing, in what way are they going to assist us anyway to address the problem of unemployment? That is a bigger issue that is facing us now. I don't have a problem with the social development one. Those one keep people busy is fine. And then keep them busy is fine. That one is fine, the social development. But surely, the local government one, COCTA one, can't be the same. And then I think that if you are introducing them, whatever you are doing should not be the same. We can't again take Maile's approach for revitalization of townships, similar thing that you said, it is not working already. And then otherwise, if you don't add any value, it would be a continuation of the problem generally, and rather than addressing it and say, these are new ideas, this is something new that we're introducing, and then this is our plan, and then see how it works. Maybe have one pilot project somewhere that we can go and see, man. Walaza, I think you are making it here. Because I thought also the point that was raised by Honorable Maluleg was the point that how can we you harness the energy of the foreign national in South Africa to ensure that it also there's empowerment of the local people. Why can't we have a joint approach with them? And then because they're here, they do well in terms of their business. In fact, all spaza shops now are owned by foreign national. No, we can't compete with them. We can argue where they get money, it's a different issue. But I thought that their point was that you must ensure that you harness their energy and ensure that with South Africans and them, they work together. Because there's a lot that we can learn from them anyway. There's a lot that we can learn from them and deal with that issue. And then combine them, they work with us. They don't become strangers, you know that. Who every time remittances overseas. And then it's very clear that every month, every year, 25 billion rand goes outside the country anyway. Because small businesses that are here every corner, Pakistanis, Bangladeshis, everywhere, it goes there. But the point that I think would be very good that we have discussion on one day when we are all ready, just to deal about what new that you are adding as COCTA in terms of the local economic development without reinventing the wheel, because otherwise we would waste a lot of money. Far better just to go to Lindy. Lindy, give us what you have and then we run it. And then to, unless there's something new, will assist us to address some of the problems that we are raising. Because as you are saying that we have started to work on this, but as we also do public, what is the public hearings, oversight, very rare when you find something that is encouraging. And then I think in fact, not where we are in crisis today, Musa Chupin. They were also talking about the same thing that we are talking about here in this meeting. But we all know that monies were channeled to other people, not to the issues there. And then there's a bigger problem that we are facing. And I think we must work it out correctly and do something, want something there, man. And Abraham, when you move in Soweto, you must find many people involved in local economic development. And of course they'll make a living, but then generally it's not what you want people to be there. Otherwise it's keeping them busy. Then to make them to grow also economically and empower them to move on. I think that's the point that generally we are saying. We don't know because, of course, this is a new pillar that is added on, but our discussion about local economy will be not new. We have been discussing this thing all over, broadly, government, legislatures, and everyone have been dealing with this issue. And Brian, you wanted to make a point?
Just make a few points, Chairperson. What needs to be done in relation to challenges is to just crystallize them a bit, think a bit more as your team. For instance, you're raising points like less red tape. Okay. In terms of your suggestions later on about solutions, must be removal of red tape, and you must identify what is this red tape and so on. Unable to measure impact, we must be able to measure impact, non-functioning
municipalities. Of course, some of those may have to sort it out by the department itself, together with other stakeholders and so on. Implementation of bylaws. Bylaws must be implemented and so on. They need to put pressure from various levels and so on. Departments, public representatives, etc. Must not be project driven and so on. And then there's this whole question of dormitories versus economic hubs. But what is the opposite of that and so on? So we need to crystallize the ideas a bit more. Go back, think, rework this document until we arrive at what is really decent product. Now, in terms of the other ideas, just very briefly, just to raise four ideas. There's no mention at all in the document about entrepreneurs. I mean, I'm sure all of us would agree here. You do need entrepreneurs, I mean, you know. And you cannot mention something like that in the document. Then there's a question of, you know, in many countries, they have what is in the big cities. You know, the Chinese downtown. In Joburg, there's a bit of the Indian downtown. But where is the African downtown or colored downtown? Maybe in the Western Cape there'll be a few colored who are involved in business, but can't we increase that number, you know, that kind of thing? So we need to think in that kind of way. Thinking big. Now, Soweto has over 2 million people. It's huge. Over 2 million people. Now, if you go anywhere in the world and look at a town that has 2 million people, because that's a town that is big as 2 million people. You see, all the things that you'll find international in a town of 2 million people will be missing in Soweto. I don't know whether that says anything to you. You go to any small town that has 2 million people, but what you find in those towns will be missing in Soweto. And that takes me to the let me just give an example. You know, in Soweto, there's no hotel in Soweto. There's no hotel in Soweto. Over 2 million people, there's no hotel there. Yeah. And there are many other things that are not there. Because if you want to drive things, that's what we should. So we should think big. You know, there's a place called Mzoli in Cape Town here. I mean, I went there, I was very impressed with the idea. I actually met with the owner. Had a discussion with him and so on. Now Mzoli is gone. I was very shocked. I went there the other day. The foreign nationals have taken over security. They were running security when I was there. But that I'm told that the place is no longer there. If it's there at all, it's functioning at a very, very low level than it used to. The innovation, the creativity, is gone. Maybe that may be it. What I'm basically saying is that let's think big and let's be more creative and let's work out ways and means of exerting positive pressure and ensuring that there are results. Otherwise, I agree with what the chairperson was saying in terms of his summary.
Not really, we are just sharing your views really in general, because the new pillar that you are adding in terms of your side, that you are going to oversee the implementation of the new pillar. And then there are a lot of things that we have to do. I think Walad was to do this. And so it was very big. And there will be a lot of things anyway, that we should do. And I think there's no restaurant in the Soweto. No restaurant.
No,
not even
Capella.
You don't have the basics.
No, but I'm just saying
that the point that you are raising,
and what applies to Soweto must apply to Mitchell's Plain, must apply to...
We, we can undermine the border guarantee, but it's a very fundamental. Any town with 1 million or 500,000 people don't have this basic thing. But I think it's exactly what Walaz was talking about. It's still seen as a dormitory. People go there and sleep. And they also, Walaz, you know that our cities also sleep at night, like us. In fact, you can't walk here. Only Charine walks around here at night. And then when you leave Parliament at about 7, 8,
who can the town is dead.
And, I'm in danger now here. Because our cities simply sleep. They wake up at 5 as we wake up. Generally, it's a problem. But if there's a 24-hour economic cities that are working all over the world, I thought that the cocktail one is not going to revive the Bob cooperative. I've never seen them, but I know that I have one. The shoes one, school children, and feeding schemes, no bakeries. But we all know that generally everyone eats some bread somewhere. But there's no focus on it. I thought, in fact, the revitalization was about that. Small painting people, the small repairs, whatever things, put it around township, designate areas. Take some houses there, one way or another, negotiate with people. And then the four-room in Soweto, Brahma, it can't remain a four-room. Sometimes there should be four cup story. We should turn things around. It seems you are maintaining what we got there. And then there's nothing that assists us to interact and integrate this society. I don't think the local economic development can really turn things around there. Whereas if all of us, we work in systematically, we tighten intergovernmental relations, and then when people complain about the laws, they identify, they amended accordingly. Then I think we can do a lot of things that are good, that there is. It's just all of us, let us focus on it, and ensure that maybe we have something there, except the malls, because I think what we are doing now, I think development of township are the malls. But we also know that the more the still local, smaller traders, general traders, they're that poor. They can't rent in the malls because malls are very expensive. And in general, this thing, instead of assisting us to build, it is all these local things that are there. I think one way or another, we must work it out and allow the team. When we engage again, let us engage on this issue. It wasn't very critical. Given the fact that our economy is again a little bit constructed 2.2% each point, again to take that 1% for an economy up is very difficult. Some of these interventions should really yield some results and work out, coordinate it, and ensure that they will take us somewhere. Bram, I know that you want a hotel in Soweto. One hotel in Soweto can't do anything. I thought there was 17 now. I know the one that is there in Portia somewhere, in Cape Town. And then I thought the idea that Houghton was introduced, they were what are the Sulu squares. We're going to have some development every part of the city. Just to ensure that things need to be changed. I think the problem, the way we are dealing with this thing, and I hope that COCTEL, your six pillar, local economic development, is not going to be the same. It's going to assist us to address the unemployment, and then teach our people how to do things. And there is a lot of things that are happening. I don't think they're coordinated well, and I think what others are correct, that it can't be a tomato thing. And then survivalist approach. It should be there, but it should move on. Let us empower our people in every corner. Ensure that, I know that Combat Dube, we want to have a cooperative of goats. I'm not sure how many goats anyway want, but I'm not sure where to sell them. But I'm just saying there are a lot of things that are happening already. That we can build on them and assist our people and empower them. Because we don't want to keep them busy because they are loitering around, but we want to empower them. And then empowering them to me is very important. The coordination of governance and the relationship with other stakeholders. I guess that will allow also business community are engaging with them. And surely there will be a lot of input also that they can make. And then, if possible, let us make it work. I know that the term of Mason is ending next year. If it's not this year, next year, it's ending. Doesn't mean that it's not coming back, but it may be ending, depending on how much resources you got. But the point is that let us try to do everything now instead of allowing us to continue and achieve, even if you're not around. Then again, to go to the colleagues who will be coming to say the same thing, I think by that time we must take them around. This is what we have tried, it didn't work, these are the reasons why it didn't work. This is how now we are improving on that. At least there should be something. That they don't also sit down and listen to the six pillar the way we have listened to it ourselves. We can't see changes happening on the ground. And then otherwise I think we're creating problems. But I think it's a good idea. It's a very important pillar, and I think we should work on it. And then surely Walaza will go back and work on some of the issues. Try to assist us. I think we can go and see some of the things that we are saying now that are working somewhere. Because we can learn also from them, see how things are working, and then how people are being empowered, women and youth, and general population in terms of the peace, harnessing the issues of the foreign nationals that are here. Because many of them anyway won't go anywhere. They're part of us. And we can have problems here and there, but they are part of us. We must accept that. We must harness their energy and show that also they work together with our people on that. I think we can learn a lot from them, I think. Let us work on that one. And then I don't think we can fail to learn a lot from the Somalis that are doing well. Whether they are coordinated or not coordinated, but they are doing well, they to be in Bangladesh. And the Pakistanis and other people really are here. And I think we should work on that. Let us interact with them and engage on this with our lives. And the members will get some good and have a good. It's a very important deal, really. If we make it work, Mason, 10 years' time, we can see our township becoming centers of activity. Taking advantage that our cities are sleeping, and then those former townships must then be vibrant. And then people must not sleep, and this, you know, they must walk and enjoy, and restaurant, enjoy spaza shop of Charin, a lot of spaza shop in, around here in town. But she mustn't end just as spaza person, she must grow and be empowered to do other bigger things. And I think if we do that, 10 years from now, and while we're still around, there is no administration remains intact for many years, and then politicians will come and go. But it's just good for you, because it's for our benefit, all of us. We can't have a situation and then because I'm not sure why Northwest collapsed when you were there anyway. Because I thought that should be. You are always there. It's your hometown, naturally. You've been seeing all this thing happening. We never said a word in this meeting. You kept quiet now. Now we are paying, your quietness. Now we are paying dearly, that's why. And I thought that talk is about telling us, hey, man, there's a crisis here. Then let us intervene. Then let us deal with this thing this way. And then, but it seems you kept quiet and to be safe, but we are no longer safe now anyway, because we are going to go there and fix the mess of 12 municipalities anyway. You can't run away from that now. I'm not sure what happened, but it's very clear that things that are going on. And then COPTA should be assisting us on that. And then, Walaza, thank you for the presentation. It's very good documentation for us. Let us work it out. We send a good chance to turn things around. I really think we send a good chance to turn things around. We work out, and then from time to time when you have a meeting, you call members of parliament and invite them to go to the meetings where you are having discussion with them. It would be very critical, because learning from your experience would be very good for us to know exactly what is happening where, and then. I think we should work on that. And then we must then ensure that things develop accordingly. And the
thank you very much for this one. It is a well-prepared organization. Let us see the results, as the honorable members are saying. And before election next year, maybe we have time to visit one of your issues and see how we do. Not precisely because you want to see failure, but just to see what is good, what is working, what is not working. And then what legislation are very problematic to be amended by these members of Parliament. Even if they may not be bad, those who are bad, they will then say these are issues that we have to amend. Just to get rid of the red tape that Honorable Masondo was saying. But you must take Masondo issue. We will tell somewhere else. On. I'm not sure we're supposed to sleep there, Rana. The general. The people come to funerals. So Baba today is the correct point, so they come to funeral, yeah. Also there are many funerals in Soweto class. many funerals. So you can see even when you go to a funeral, if the car you are driving there, you got stopped one or another, you go to a wrong funeral. Because there are many. I'm not sure why we can't be creative just to indicate that in this funeral we're going to have this car at this funeral. And then have some balloons there. A white one, a pink one, then a pink balloon. No, that is the Dube's funeral. Because the way we are doing things, well, many people get lost there. They ended up in the wrong funeral for the whole time. When you see that funeral is almost gone, that one was gone. And then attended the wrong funeral, but the body is still a funeral. But we must be creative. What else? Must work out. I would like to be the audience person. And then I'm not sure why I can't have four already. Have some restaurants there. Good restaurant there. Because why it can't be right, people from Soweto always go to Sanchin for a restaurant just to eat. And when you come home you're hungry already, you have to go back. And then there's no restaurant around that are very posh. Things that you can do this thing, whatever. We can't be governing a country, but we govern as if you are borrowed. Administration, it doesn't assist us. Because must push us. Members, please, this is what we want to do. And then members must approve that goes to parliament, pass laws, change things. And then it can't be the situation this way. I think it's unsustainable anyway. The way we are doing things is unsustainable. We must turn this thing around and give you to another the chief. We hope that in Alexander we're going to see something developing. Maybe Brand, we need one hotel somewhere in Alexander.
Yeah.
The five banks have a hotel. People go there every day anyway. But there's no hotel. And then we must work it out now. These towns and cities' problems are problems. I think we must work it out and ensure that we develop our society. And then local economic development is very important. Let us work it out and then get back to us, take us through on some of the issues that are happening on the ground. I think we'll always be available. We can sometimes, those who are around towns, if it's happening in Durban, the members of parliament who are in Durban, they can go with you and see this issue. If it's happening in Cape Town, members can also see what is happening. In Joburg, Gauteng, and many cities, just to go with that. And then I think, Musa Shuki, I was in Maritzburg 2 weeks ago. Maritzburg is gone. I'm not sure how long I've been there. It was a beautiful city. Of course, a Victorian switch, generally speaking. But it's gone. Completely gone. Every day you can see that a beautiful city is gone. The Victorian building that used to be very beautiful for historical reasons now, that's quite a building. No maintenance there. The main street is gone. And then the park that used to have flowers, general, and now the soccer field. And then it's just general things are not doing well.
and then again, I'm not sure what we can do. Because people, they are seeing this thing happen. In fact, they start comparing us with a very bad system. Mm-hmm. The very bad system. Now, just go to this city, go to my respect, general, you'll see. And go to, not on, there's no camera here. No camera. So just go to PE now, Nelson Mandela Bay. And just meet with Banga. Banga used to be a member of this committee. And see the changes that I have been already. And then go just see at least that one. And see how things we can do things and go to my respect. And then of course I want to meet with mayors when they just to come in accounts and the Kevin one and other mayors, Joe Bab. I think they'll come with you and then just work hard on some of the issues that are happening in that town and cities. And we are going to do that. But going to these areas will allow yourself and see how things are a little bit not going on there. In fact, I think Mahike is gone. Mahike is gone. Not because you don't have money. You have money. But it's gone, Mahike, really now. I think it's going to be a village in the next 10 years. Mm-hmm. Unless something is done to control that again. It's a very important economic hub of the province and the Rustenburg and that area. For sure, stream areas, all those ones. But Mahike is gone itself. And then Rustenburg is surviving. I'm not sure how they keep it trying to survive. But it's very clear that all the issues that you raise in terms of back to basics, we have identified the problem. Political leadership, administrative, financial management, all that. We have identified it, but we're not doing anything to ensure that things happen. And I think we must turn things a little bit around. And then work out some of these issues. Let us move to our second presentation. And then again, Mehem is not around, he's been passionate about this. Of having discussion and ensuring that the target team, interministerial team that deals with payment of debt to us, is the second issue that we have to deal with because it's a bigger problem. Hopefully, new leadership of us will also be with some of our countries. Take us through, for instance, in parallel.
Thank you. I'm going to present the report on the IDC on the situation for accounts and the payment debtors. And this is where I find that the IMCT is looking at the payment of debt, and also have also gone to look at some of the challenges and some of the structural challenges that are within the system that are creating some of these problems or are making it more difficult for municipalities to afford the payment and to be in the state that they are in currently. So as a matter of outline, I'll give you the background on the IMCT and then I will go into the legislative framework, which is one of the biggest issues because it is an institutional matter that is also on the table of the IMCT and the issues that need attention in that regard. And then I'll then update on the work itself of what they have done on the position matter, on the structural issues as well as on the different challenges. Then I'll then keep you here on the municipal debt services and I think fundamentally it's just to be aware that fiscally the municipality are much more constrained, especially the smaller municipalities. And ESCOM, the issue of ESCOM and the land payment reliance on the fact that the fiscal framework of the municipality largely puts the infrastructural issues on own revenue. And own revenue has become problematic. Not only electricity and water, the sale of that, also on the side of the collection of property. And so smaller municipalities where those opportunities are even more limited. laws are complaining about the fact that ban that they used to have in terms of the profitability on the electricity side has become diminished because the electricity market has just gone up and up and up, and the consumer is not able to absorb the last one. So we find a position where we started a trying to balance out too much for the consumer, and the profitability has just gone down, and this is an issue as well, over and above everything else. So the IMGC was established. I think fundamentally, it was a crisis that we are in, relating to the fact that are not paying their bar, and not necessarily only their bar, obviously they are not paying as well, which includes, by the way, some of the SMEs, because when they don't pay their accounts, when they can't pay, they can't pay everybody. It's just that the bar is bigger, and in terms of the numbers, and also because of the fact that there's a new governmental issue going on with Eskom, it becomes higher. So the MCT was established, and it consists of the minister, our minister as the chair, and then we've got finance, energy, public enterprises, minister of the president of SALGA, and then the chairperson of Eskom board. And subsequently, after a couple of meetings, then because the crisis was developed only like Eskom, then the MCT incorporated water and sanitation into the process. So we're now looking at both Eskom issues and the level of water issues in the MCT. So we reported to the Presidential Coordinating Committee in August 2017 on the constitutional matter. The constitutional matter is actually about the articulation and distribution of the charter between the municipalities and who's got the right for authority on that. Not the right to distribute, but the authority to regulate what happens in the community. And the MGT then mandated filed a complaint to and the presentation was really saying, and it has been agreed to, that maybe this issue needs to be clarified by the declaration of court order, and the citizens who are against the court order just because of intergovernmental relations, we can't be taking each other to court, so we need to sit down and resolve it. The lawmakers must make the resolution. I'll go a little bit in depth in terms of what are the challenges or what are the issues of the government in Africa in the next slide. And then they then put the matter back to the ministers that are already taking part of the energy to say, come back with a solution, we will have just for the financial court. So in going into that that constitutional issue, it's really fundamental to summarize it, to say that the municipalities seek a council. So a council as in the executive leg of the municipality, which is the councillors that are elected by the as the people that have the executive authority to regulate on the matter of electricity. And so it's always misconstrued, so I'm clarifying this, so it's always misconstrued to think that municipalities are asking for Eskom to move out of distribution. They're not. They're saying, even though they come in, they must come in with an understanding that the one who has the authority to regulate this function is a municipal council, and when US Eskom come in and distribute and articulate, you need to have that understanding that you're doing it under the municipal council as a service provider of the council rather than doing it in your own service. Versus Eskom is saying that we've got a license, there's an Electricity Regulation Act, and NERSA issues us licenses, and that license actually gives us that authority. And they are of the view that because the Constitution has not gone and defined executive authority, they can't rely on that executive authority being an authority of a council. So they are basically saying they are not bound by that. So that is the major error of this argument. And I think why is this an issue? It's because when we're looking at a non-payment of debt and everything, there is always something that is close to try to say that if you could collect the revenue due to us, and if you could use the levers to collect the revenue due to us that are available to us, we'll be able to collect a little bit more, and then we'll be able to maybe pay our bank services. And some of the things that are hindering us from collecting that is that we are unable to deliver the project on the electricity. So the surcharge is the surcharge that you are allowed by the fiscal act to then charge over and above recovering your expenses on electricity to be able to fund the non-trading services. So in the ESCOM areas, then they have to forfeit that. So it means if the municipal area is this much and this is the thing is regulated by ESCOM, in that area they are unable to get that surcharge. So then it means less of funds for them. They are saying they can't exercise credit control in terms of collection. Obviously, electricity is one of the working ways of exercising credit control, even for other services, because water is in many respects, and on property rates, there is not much of a lever, so they use electricity through the consolidated payment system. And also, there is a social problem, which is the lack of transparency, where you could sit on this side of the road, and you're being charged 11 cents on this side, you're paying the 10 cents depending on who the city is. And this is becoming a problem because even businesses are deciding which side to put their business because it becomes cheaper on the one side and becomes more expensive on the one side, and the citizens are also complaining. And that is why you're hearing some of the social issues coming through where people are saying, no, we don't want the municipality to electricity because we want it to be ESCOM because they have established that ESCOM side is cheaper. And also that in ESCOM side, you don't get switched off for not paying the rate. So it's actually more convenient to be regulated by ESCOM. So it's those social issues that are coming through. And then obviously there's conflict in the supply areas. When municipalities are saying, even though we've got the bulk of the supply areas, ESCOM has got the areas where there is actually money. So you find that the ESCOM will be reticulating in more lucrative areas where there's a lot of resident exclusivity, whereas municipalities are getting where there's a lot of indigenous, etc., etc. So you find that then you don't get the money. So municipalities are saying, if ESCOM provides electricity as a service provider to a municipality in terms of the Systems Act, then they will be able to ensure that these things happen because they will sign a service delivery agreement. What this municipality is going to say, as the executive authority, when you are reticulated, we're going to require you to charge a surcharge. We're going to require you to also facilitate that we do credit control in your areas as well. And we're going to charge this tariff in this municipality, we're going to apply to all citizens. And then there will also not be an issue of conflict in supply areas because the surcharge will then be in all the areas. So that is what the municipalities are fighting about, and that is the main area of this argument. So basically, the gender municipalities say that they're going to let the sector because they use revenue in the process. So this is the one issue, which is what we call the constitutional issue, because it's the constitutional clarity that is required. Then we then went and looked at some of the structural and systemic issues that are coming through that are also creating problems in terms of that. So I've spoken on the constitutional matter, Chair. I will not go into that except to add that the committee, the MPP, then said that because the matter is of such an important consideration, they would want to put a team of experts to just go and look at all the angles of this in terms of how this can be resolved. And they have appointed an advisory panel. The advisory panel is in place. They've seen ESCOM, they've seen CELDA, and then they've then gone and identified other stakeholders that they would want to hear from. So they've seen the National Energy Regulator, they've seen the Department of Energy Treasury, they've seen public enterprises, they've seen us as the cooperative government, the department, not the high people, and then they've seen the Financial and Fiscal Commission, just to get the views and to get the understanding in terms of, or the, other than that, what I need to say is the demarcation process, the demarcation process. So they're doing work to try and get to the machine so that they can advise the MCT. So the MCT's last set on the 10th of May, they're meant to be on the 31st of May, that's the point, so they will be putting through and it will be able to take that feedback from the panel and to make that decision. And so I've explained to you the local government's position in terms of that executive so that they've got the right to administer and to the authorities to engage the electricity and telecom units at once. So, structural issues that are coming about. One of the structural issues that the party has raised is that there's an issue on public lighting. Policy is not very explicit as to who is then responsible for public lighting. Because what ESCOM is doing is, although they are reticulating in the area, then they say public lighting is a local government function, so they bill the municipality for all the public lighting that they are doing. And in fact, they say, this is going to say that you've got the right to do this, you cannot be able to be able to do this. But then in that area, public lighting is part of the package, because when we are giving lighting in the household and the community, then the public lighting becomes part of that package. And then that's an area where in fact, they get financial strain because then they have to pay. Also, there's also the issue about the installation of public lighting, so as common then delay, etc., etc. And also the way they charge, ESCOM is charging municipalities where they will go and install energy efficient lighting, but ESCOM is in the ESCOM area, but ESCOM is going to charge and still charge and a standard charge which they charge public lighting, which energy efficient. So we put that into the Department of Energy desk because it's more of an energy policy issue. They've got a policy issue that they're looking at, and in that reason they have put this matter to be able to provide that clarity. Because if you think about that, it's got a lot of fiscal implications as well, because wherever this responsibility goes, we're going to the budget in Putin will need to then create that funding to that area to be able to fund public housing. So it's an area that's just been hanging according to the current policy. The second one is areas of supply. I've touched about it a little bit in terms of who's supplying in what area. But then once it's gone and established, we go down into the system, that NERSA does not even necessarily have information on who's got licenses in which area, so that we can actually map it out and be able to see it. They're saying that they took over, and when the World Forum started came through, they just basically continued to run, and if you were ESCOM and you had an area, then they will continue to give you a renewal of that license. And if there are new areas, the decision will be made to go through, they fall under, and then they will continue like that. So they don't necessarily have a document that shows clean. So they've gone though and started a geographical information system, which is going to clearly identify those areas. And also, obviously, they tell you the people of demarcations, where the municipal branch is not there and not there, and all this. So to clean that out, the side of the process where they are out putting the religion system. This is the update that we have from them. So we make them a restroom that supports the ambulance as well. So the update is that the grant allocation home, 3 states were done, most of 3 states, and then a little bit in Mpumalanga. If you look at these other provinces, the little that they've done are only the municipalities where there was a change in boundaries, so whether there was an amalgamation of municipalities, etc. But they still had to do all other provinces other than those municipalities. So that's a progress, so they're going to put certain day, and at least at that point when they're done, we'll be able to get a view of exactly which areas, what is the percentage of areas that is occupied by ESCOM versus municipalities, because it becomes important, especially in informing the work of the MCC in the district and the constitution. Another set of challenges, these include some of the issues on the constitutional side, the credit control issues, the need to rationalize municipal tariffs. These tariffs that we talk about rationalized here, it's not the tariffs that are charged by ESCOM to municipalities, the bulk tariffs. Because those tariffs were also many, and in fact, they were confused. You just get a bill, and they didn't know what am I charged for, because there was about 11 different tariffs for different scenarios. So we've managed to work through ESCOM, and those have been reduced to only 3. So from the 1st of July, when they start in the new year, then there will be only 3 tariffs that they will be charging. Then there was also the contribution of municipal debt to ESCOM. It was really a question of saying that how do we even know which part of that debt is actual capital, which part is interest, and which part is all these penalties, because there's huge penalties that have come back to municipalities. And to be able to see that and to see whether interest has not gone and exceeded the capital beyond the rules of interest of growth and historical debt, and the uncertain use of the current payment of compensation that come in municipalities. So the payment of compensation has been an issue because they were based on ESCOM's demand rather than their affordability at the municipal level. Obviously, ESCOM's demand also driven by their own financial issues, but also if they're not compensated in municipalities, then the situation was before that we are currently seeing. So the board of ESCOM was able to approve certain of these concessions. So the IMTC said to ESCOM, ESCOM, you need to do something, you need to fix some of these things to make it easier, because we also feel that you are also coming through quite strong in terms of flexibility. So the first thing they ESCOM agreed to reduce the interest that they charge. So now they charge in prime charge 2.5%. The first price obviously that Salva was running for was only prime without anything, but the compromise position of the ESCOM board going to prime at 2.5%. So the 2.5% reduction in the interest rate that's being charged now. The payment term, ESCOM wanted to be charged to pay within 15 days, whereas the consumers are paying within 30 days. So that was realigned. So now ESCOM is charging the municipality's interest only at the same fee, except that they haven't implemented that for metros, because they think the cash flow is stable, which they feel so that metros could pay in time. That is still under the, on the negotiation table and IMDT and the outstanding issue, because the metros feel that also they deserve the same payment. And the payment is from municipalities were also allocated in the first before capital, as from have agreed to put them in the office, so that at least the capital that we have. And then the rationalization of the tariffs, this is what I've already indicated that they've gone down to 3 now, and that is this is being implemented as part of the financial process for the union. Another issue that was on the table was the notified maximum demand. So this is where, as a municipality, you predetermine to say, this is going to be how much electricity that I'm going to need in terms of bulk for me to supply my area. And when you give any amount that is used, then attached to it is a capital element that ESCOM charges you to say that for you to have this facility, we're going to charge you this much as a capital element. And also, if you exceed it, it means that you are over-exerting our infrastructure, so we're going to then charge you penalties. The problem about this, though, is that if you exceed the maximum demand for a period of 2 months in any financial year, they effect the penalties in every month for that year. So it means that you sin twice, but then the penalty goes for the whole year. So this is a big problem for the municipality as well. The second area where this is a problem is that when they want that capital amount, so if you're saying, okay, fine, I've been exceeding my demand, I now want to get a little bit more of the allowance, then they say, okay, you need to pay the capital side of it upfront, and you start with the kind of product. So they almost get trapped in a lower demand if they had a lower one, and if they keep exceeding, obviously the penalty, then this penalty was at least. So this matter, because the matter that's regulated by NERSA was then brought into the MCC to say what can we do, and NERSA has agreed that on the side of the penalty, they will then go and amend the policy on how the penalty are going to do that. So in the calculation, the formula for calculation is going to be reviewed as of the 1st of July 2018, and that formula is currently part of the NERSA process that is under public consultation to say that they can do that to make it less expensive to the and also to make them not to have to pay for 12 months when they have only exceeded for a month or two. And so I've spoken to that slide in terms of that the increase in LMB is also a problem. So this increase in LMB part of it, which is the bigger, where you're saying that, okay, I've recognized that I'm exceeding and I want a little bit more. Because of the capital element to it, then that's a settlement ESCO funded up front. The board of ESCO is sitting on this one. They are still making decisions. And the promise that by the end of June they'll be able to have made a decision in terms of allowing the country to pay over a period instead of having to pay up front because it's impossible when they are really struggling to just pay their own bank. So the guidelines are up to that. I've spoken to the reconciliation of all the debt. So the MTC has requested that commission to give us a breakdown of which this amount, if we're saying the funds are owing 13 million, how much of it is actually money that is the capital, how much is penalties, how much is interest. I must say that it's been very hard for us to complete with the numbers, but now we have used to do an undertaking in the last meeting, so we hope that we'll put the numbers, because the way that they are billing and their invoices and statements, you don't need to pick it up because they are using the compounding. So they're compounding, so they are not able to differentiate because they're charging interest on the gold bill. Municipal debt is a problem, as I have said. Municipal debt is just increasing to ESCOM and not only to ESCOM, obviously for water and for other credit of municipalities. And the culture of non-payment by consumers is a big issue because as you have seen the municipalities being unable to pay, you are also seeing it outside when you look at the debt of the municipalities just going up and up and up. So it means that their system with paper money in their books, but they're not receiving the actual money, so that's why they're not able to pay. There is a lack of skills in financial and technical to be able to deal with these issues. I think when municipalities took over in terms of the current situation, because electricity had a lot of money in it, it was easier for them to ignore the fundamentals of saying, how much does it cost me to reticulate electricity and to distribute it? Am I charging tariffs that are recovering that money? And or am I running this thing at a loss? And they'll just increase annually using inflation and everything. And now, when the reality hits them, then they look at their books and they realize that they're running these functions at a loss. And most of the municipalities that have been problems, they're running the electricity function at a loss. But then to fix that, so we have created a facility within the department where we are assisting them to review their tariffs. But when you review those tariffs and you look at the cost of that function to them versus what they are charging, the gap will be so wide in the cases that we've looked at that you can't pass that on a consumer like just like that. So it means that incrementally they're going to start increasing their tariffs to be able to get there. It's going to take many years for most of them because they are not doing that. And you find that the councils are very sensitive about that because when they pass their budget and they have to put their tariffs, then they need to consider it also of the consumer. And I mean, the law, the system has said is that when you pass your tariff, you must consider it of the citizen. And this is almost a trap situation where they are at, where they know now that they are selling at a loss, and but they can't get to the break even point as soon as they would like to. Infrastructure is a big thing when it comes to, so that is why I said the fiscal framework says municipal infrastructure needs to be funded by mostly owned revenue. Yes, there's mix which funds a little bit, but mostly owned revenue. But for a municipality that doesn't have economic activity, that doesn't raise that much rates, and for a municipality that got mostly images, it means that the owned revenue is not necessarily there to be able to then have your funded budget and a little bit left to fund capital. And if you're not funding capital, the one area that has suffered the most has been the revenue creating infrastructure, which is the water and infrastructure, because they have tended to use their means to focus more on something that can be seen, because it is important to deliver services and to build that road and to build that sports hall, to do that, you know, something that can, because these things are hiding somewhere, and yes, there's still lights and everything, but there's deterioration, so there's a lot of attention that was lacking there. And at this point, for these municipalities, we go in and we say, yes, we see that infrastructure is a problem, the losses are too high and everything, but there isn't money in the system to be able to put money into the system of that infrastructure network to get it to the point where it can run and you don't lose so much. So Because that is one of the areas that is now a problem in terms of reviving themselves and getting themselves to a profitable state. So here's the status as of 31 March, where we are sitting at 13.5 billion. And out of that 13.5 billion, there's like 10 municipalities that are contributing 70% to the consumers. And those are the 10 municipalities that they are basically owing 9.5 billion. So we would have a process where the technical side of the IMCT, which is all the departments, including ESCOM, that are part of the IMCT, we've created a technical team, so we go to municipalities and would really honestly and sit with them and the treasurers to honestly look at their books to say, how much can you afford, how much can you not afford? And we allow them to sign more affordable payment agreements instead of those payment agreements that being more ESCOM compliant. And in February last year, March, we saw about 55 municipalities. We had the municipalities sign agreements. But when we go and look, only 32% of them are honoring them. So the problem, the critical problem at municipalities, even though you've gone and looked, and then you said, okay, here's a plan, and this is where it is. And you find that what happens is that in the month that they are receiving their allocation for local government equitable share, then they will be in good books, they will pay. And when that is not there, when they have to rely on own revenues, then they cannot do it. Because clearly their system is running at a loss, so they're not getting profit there. And then on the other side, they're not necessarily having much of economic activity to be able to get property to use it to pay. So there is that problem. And as I said, we reviewed their tariffs, but obviously it's a long-term thing because it's going to be have to be balanced out incrementally. In terms of the water, there was a lot of disputes on the water. I think the department has also not pursued their water debt actively for many years, into the extent that the numbers were then becoming disputable. disputing the abstraction points and all that. So now there's a process where we are working closely to assist municipalities to identify those points, to say, is this really my point, and does this debt belong to me? And then you must know there's also the difference between the districts and the locals, who's what. So there's a lot of disputes in water and the work stream that we are working with the DWS to solve those problems, so that everybody will then be in agreement, I owe this much, and it will be a matter of paying that off. We continue to make permanent agreements, and as I said, that it's a difficult one, because the minute you walk away, they will honor it 1-2 months, and then they stop owning them again. So it's a little struggle to get the permanent agreement honored. And then we've got a specific program, which we call a simplified revenue plan, which really looks at the revenue cycle of the municipal. We have a simple municipality at the moment, and we sit in those municipalities, we sit in for 2 years because of the amount of work that needs to be done. So we don't sit for 1 year and meet them, we basically sit with them for 2 years. And in that plan, what we do, we firstly do an exit assessment, which is almost like an audit of what they are doing right and what are they not doing within their cycle. Then we then say, okay, these are areas that we can target to at least improve. So we're looking, so in the end, we're hoping that there will be an improved revenue management, reduction in debt, and the protection and enhancement of the revenue collection potential. That is where we're saying that, are they dealing everybody that should be billed before they even collect? Are they even looking at all their revenue sources and billing everybody? And we found a lot of interesting things in the municipalities where we find that 20-30% of their billing is between people who are never going to pay. So we're cleaning the data as well to make sure that they're doing. Then we find that there's a lot of those properties where those people have never ever seen it in their lives, and so we're doing all that thing up. So Chair, we presented this for you to know the progress of the work that is being done by the MCT, as well as to look in terms of the advisory panel and the constitutional matter. And then the progress on these other issues that we put up, the structural and systemic challenges, as well as to note that the level of debt is consistently increasing. The quota mean has quite a progress to then press down further, to make sure that the payment agreements are honored and that municipalities really show commitment on their part to also play their role in terms of at least honoring their payment agreements.
Thank you, Lerato.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just two additions broadly. The issue that Lerato was putting that we want to emphasize is that regardless of the steps that we are taking to assist municipalities to pay, the obligation lies on these identified municipalities to pay. And we can do whatever we do. We can put systems in place. We can assist them with revenue enhancement plans. And we had, but ultimately, the obligation lies with them to pay. Secondly, we want to stress to the committee that there should not be only one-sided emphasis on the repayment to ESCOM by municipalities. We have said in our presentation that we want to emphasize this, that we do not want this honorable members to sit again tomorrow to deal with other creditors on the same manner as this. Our approach has been that it is holistical. We are looking at an ideal, financially viable municipality that is able to meet its obligation to repay ESCOM debt, water board debts, creditors, SMMEs that are not paid, that we are aware of, the committees also are aware of, and also third parties. Municipalities are taking money for a pension fund, for medical aid and all that, and they're not being paid over. So we are saying we should not only be looking at ESCOM, repaying ESCOM, but we should look at ideally the municipality to be able to be viable and able to meet its constitutional obligation. Those are the two additions.
Thank you very much for the additions. But I'm not sure how you're going to work out and out of 48 municipalities that have nothing, no resources at all. And then because they're indigenous district in general. And then how do you deal with that situation? It would be very interesting to hear how you're going to deal with it. Because if they don't get a cent, and then there are 48 of them, they're not very small. I guess that's somewhere in rural areas, rural towns, small towns. It should be a bigger challenge because it's no longer just about COCTA, it's about the national government as a whole. That we've got 48 municipalities that are almost really in indigent areas. Everyone is not working, is indigent. There's no likelihood that they can even contribute a cent for electricity or water because they're indigent. But if the entire municipality is almost 90% indigent, then it would be difficult, I guess, to have man on that. Colleagues, let us have a comment. Honorable Maluleka.
Can you ask one of the municipalities that cannot generate their own revenue?
My question would be, is it not possible for these municipalities to make agreement with ESCOM to put prepaid meters to the household so that they don't have a problem of distributing electricity but not being able to collect. But if it is prepaid, the households themselves will be able to pay for that electricity. Is it not going to assist those municipalities? Don't have the facility to restrict it to 50 kilowatt hours.
This
model we use, ESCOM would be the borrower fundamental, although they'll go in install, but they will cooperate and municipality will be owning that money.
Okay.
Yes.
No, my Jefferson is basically just to say that we need to get a regular update on the discussions between ESCOM, SALGA, as well as the discussion that involves the inter-ministerial task team. So that there's a sense of where things are going. That's very, very critical. The briefing today is also very important in the sense that it really empowers us to understand the issues and where things are at as we speak. So that's the only comment I wanted to make, just to say we're pleading for regular briefing.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. My mind is in connection with NERSA. How long the program of NERSA of collecting
this particular information will take? Because it really have an impact on the revenue of municipalities.
How do you see local government in the next 5 years? Because you are a boss, not in the boss of the boss, but you are playing a critical role, all of you, in this area. But how do you see this thing? Because it seems the economy is going down, ESCOM is in crisis itself, water board are in crisis themselves, and then it's very clear that we are facing a disaster at a certain point. But how do you see it? Notwithstanding the fact that you do have your back to basis, it's an issue also that you must be updated and just to get outcome of it. Are we making impact with back to basis? Or is too early to tell? And then how do you want to move forward? Because it seems local municipalities in many parts of the country are not doing very well. In fact, in Free State anyway, I think the Auditor General was saying 100 of them is functional. I'm not sure if it's Mangaung included that 100 or not. If the city as big as Mangaung also is included, then it's a bigger mess that we are facing. Let alone about Fertjuns, Creons, Porterville, those are small ones. But how is your feeling? Because you are dealing with local government on almost every day, Chief Director. DDG, I think every day we are dealing with these local government issues. But how do you see this in the next 5 years? Are we getting out of the problem? And then, of course, I take the point that mobilization of the society to pay for the point that Lerato is raising. It's just payment for services, because it seems they're not being paid. Even people who are driving BMs in township, they don't pay for services. And then it's a bigger problem that I think we are facing. But how do you see it?
Chairperson and honorable members, the issue at hand is how we in the past tried to define in a broader terms the concept developmental local government, and that created a number of challenges in relation to the approach that the democratic dispensation sought to achieve. The major issue might be the structuring of how we paint the concept, whether it has worked
The answer to me is no. And whether should we continue with the very same reconfiguration of how municipalities are performing, that won't work. We need to rethink on how we have the outlook of the intellectual approach of conceptualizing local government. I'll make an example. We did not, during the years, look at how we differentiate between urban and local government. Some might say that might not be the issue, but had we made a differentiation in relation to that, we could have maybe, over the few years that we had, looked at, for example, how the funding model should be and how the structure of the so-called urban and local government or local municipalities should be. Had we done that, maybe we could have arrested the situation. Now, as matter stands, for example, we might not be in a situation to come with practical solutions to things over a period of 3 to 5, even 10 years. For example, if you take in this particular instance of non-payment of debt by municipalities, if you take a situation of municipalities that are included in that list, who will never, whether we can come with all the intervention mechanism that we have, they will never move out of it. They will never be able to pay. And they've said to ESCOM and to other to the department, we are unable, we will never be unable. As matter stands, in the coming 100 years, we will never be able to repay this money from ESCOM. We need to look at it differently. The notion that government will say that there is no bailout, there is no money somewhere sitting someone, it will never assist. That, we need to rethink that that particular approach. And also, I'm not advocating that we say whenever there are problems, there should be money that is readily available for that. The other issue, as I've said, that it relates to the conceptualization of the notion of democratic and developmental local government, is in relation to whether do we really see, with regard to the lessons that we learned, for example, when the Thatcher administration did in England, and they created a big metro of London, and that didn't work, and they had to then unbundle it to smaller boroughs because they realized that they made a mistake, and that worked. But what we are doing now is to, every 5 years and every 10 years, to put together municipalities thinking that these issues will be resolved. Some of the municipalities that were not in that situation because of the recent amalgamation and demarcation, they created, that created some problems. J.B. Marks, for example, Potchefstroom or Clockway was an ideal municipality. They get a clean audit and it was doing quite well because it had the university and it helped. We put Fentel's Dorp into it, it got into a financial distress municipality and dysfunctional municipality over a period of 2 to 3 years. So we need to really look and reshape how we think, what should be the interventions of government in how we reshape and relook in the local government sphere. Lastly, the manner in which we continue to put measures in place, for example, in relation to city, that we get structures, organograms in municipalities that are, in our opinion, workable, qualified people appointed in positions, and advocating over a period of 10 to 15 years for a clean audit, which does not translate into quality service delivery, should be a rethink in relation to that. We have not even started discussing at this time, since the advent of democratic local government. We shouldn't be saying that we've got 94% of functional or dysfunctional municipalities, or we've got this number of vacancies in municipalities. We should be saying, what is the impact of the interventions that government has made to see that municipalities are turned around? I think that's my approach. But as matter stands, in the coming 5 to 10 years, we might not be able to turn around if we do not rethink the concept of democratic and developmental local government.
You've been with our self-based with Walazwa. You think also what is made to work?
There will be strides that are being made. And as I said, that Einstein was very clear when he said that if the beginning of insanity is when you start doing the same things now and then at the same time and thinking to have the same end result, the different end result. And it's very clear. Even with regard to the, to be honest, maybe what I'm going to say, let me close my book, what I'm going to say is career limiting. But when you look at what intervention the government has got over the years, project consolidate Masakane, go up to the stage of B2B, LG Touch with the lady Ms. Akira. These same five pillars that we have were the same issues that we were talking about in all those interventions. The only thing was we changed names, but had the same approach in relation to the same things that we wanted to change. And it didn't change. And sometimes when we want to really look into how we do things differently, you are being constrained because of your thinking is being put in a box, because already there are predetermined things that you should be looking at when you try to transform. So you won't transform because you are using the same thing, good governance. We've been saying this, good governance, and we're putting things in relation to good governance. Has that assisted in us shifting? It didn't. So we need to really look into how we do things, and even in relation to the constant change in the political leadership and the administrative leadership of the department in particular, also created this impasse that we find ourselves in. Because we do same things, we do different things, everyone comes with a different concept, but it has the same content, and you are able to move.
You change the form, but not the content.
Not the content.
Then it's a bigger problem that we are facing. But then, the new justice administration should must change. It wouldn't change if ideas are not introduced today. Because what is the use any of the next administration is about 9 months to go, if May is a cut-off time. If it's earlier than May, is 2 or 4 months to go. But unless we start working on it, because it's very clear that the system is broken. Because we do our team, that we've got a team that goes all over the country observing, but they're bearing at the problem, the big problem. And Mashaba, Joburg, at the bigger problem. And I'm not sure about Soldi and others, not because that DA sometimes, some of them, but general. There's a problem about our local government. I'm not sure how you have been observing Mangawu. Mangawu is very clear that Manyo went out, it's gone now, but it's going down completely. If that end of economy goes down, then the next 10 years, in fact, there will be absolutely informal settlement in Mangawu itself. And then some way, you are practitioners. We would come and go, and it's guaranteed anyway that we are going. Dube will come and go, and that's why Walaza, you are cooperative on goats. Not a bad idea. but not to keep him busy, to empower him. Because keeping us busy with all this puzzle thing doesn't work. But we should find a way then, and then DDG for great discussion. And maybe we should ensure that there's one workshop, all of us are sitting down and looking at this thing. Because if it doesn't work, then we are wasting our time. Cities and towns will go down. And then with the view that Walaza was saying, that the urbanization anyway is almost 62%. And then if those other people anyway that are migrating anyway, generally, and then they go to towns or cities that are dysfunctional themselves, then it will be a messy situation. And I guess that will be no governance. And we end up, in fact, with a Mexican situation, where then warlord takes some part, because Dube is a warlord of Alexander. And because this thing happens when the state general is not having authority to assert itself in every corner of the country. And then we are facing a bigger problem, then we must work it out. We are linked, but I thought back to basic was a change of the content, but you are the practitioner. If you say that the form has changed, it appears very nice, but the content is still the same. And then as your friend Einstein says, you won't change. And therefore, in fact, what you are saying, that we are going down the drain already. As you see that Mangawu, I think also is Msunduze, and then even Buffalo City is not doing well, it's a metro at least. And I'm not sure about Polokwane, it seems is working there. I'm not sure what are they using. Maybe they are good, very brilliant people, I'm not sure.
I was just going to talk about Bulukwane on the prepaid data.
Okay.
I don't know whether it had a problem with electricity, the theme of electricity. I don't think so. But there are suburbs areas there. They are prepaid meters in the suburbs. So why don't we copy such things?
No, colleagues.
It's a difficult thing.
It's a way to. It's a way to.
Yeah.
As from together with the municipality, we need to put prepaid meters.
It's because people don't, they don't want to pay. They rely on the municipality. But if we can make people to pay with the prepaid meters, then it's going to be better. Well, there's a problem in Soweto. Why don't we do it in other municipalities where we can? And maybe try to do other things with Soweto. Because if we can sit with this problem, and in the next years when we are going to think about putting those prepaid meters, people will say, no, Soweto, we have not done that in Soweto. Then there will be riots all over the country. So let's just do prepaid meters where we can, so that we can alleviate this problem of debt.
Okay, colleagues, I think all of us who are governing, it seems to ourselves we are very distressed. And then it's a tougher problem then. We must find a solution for this problem. It's a bigger one. We can't afford cities to go down. We are not necessarily a rural-based society. And then we must make cities work. People must be encouraged to pay for services. Of course, engaging people and having discussion with them. I think we must continuously put money for that. Have discussion with the society. They must see the value of making contribution. We can see, I'm not sure how to go to these areas though, that even the funeral parlors in township, naturally there's a bylaw that you can't have a funeral parlor in the Isikwata community, and then the body washes. They simply go to children. Children are swimming there. And then we wash bodies of people who have passed on. Township, in fact, that is much more dominant now because I don't think our system works to ensure that bylaws are implemented, that we don't have a situation like that. And we're just lucky that there's no Ebola. I think it would be worse in a situation where we can't manage things correctly on that. It's just an appeal for many of you are going to be here for the next 10 years to turn things around and try to come with some ideas, put it to the members. Members go to the organization, have discussion on these issues, try to change the content. Even if it's 50% of the content we change, it's fine for us. We can work it out on that. I know that when Honorable Shikera was an MEC in Gauteng, it took graders to take the infrastructure out where people are not paying, and then Honorable Masondo in the working committee says Trello must never do this thing. Because Trello think that people will pay if you just use the grader, take out all the infrastructure there. And Masondo stopped with that thing, said no, Trello mustn't do this, he stopped doing that. I'm not sure that people are paying now in Deep Kloof in Soweto. It is very clear that even well-to-do families, they're no longer considering paying for services that are rendered to them. They will pay all other services, but not the local government services. I think one way or another, we must work it out, all of us, and see what should be the solution. And then thank you for the presentation, Walaza. I think we are clear about what colleagues were recommending that we should do. Surely is a very important pillar. Let us work together from time to time, come brief us, show us the areas where there's development, and then let us work it out. And then, again, empowering our people is more important than keeping them busy. And then keeping them busy for the last 20 years is fine, but we can't continue keeping them busy. Something that we know, and that is keeping them busy, really, is not going to empower them. I think we want to wonder. And thank you, Lerato, for the presentation. It's very helpful for us. And hopefully we are going to have some discussion again with the MEC and with the ministers and other people and how do we move forward on this. Thank you for presentation and thank you for raising issues.
Okay, we'll see that in the next meeting, how do we do this thing. Thank you very much for coming, really. Very helpful for us. Good luck to your work. Thanks.